well and some mohawk, which I really love. And I'm like, I wouldn't have had an opportunity to do this years ago. Right. You know, to use the technology the right way.
Yeah.
For the right purposes, right. It can be very rewarding. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things I've tried to do. Also, Indigenous Anishinaabe Waking, we have so many talented fashion designers,
mm-hmm.
artists, bead workers, quill workers, carvers, sculptors, quilters. There's so much of it. Dancers, singers, mm-hmm. performers that I like just to get on Native Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And try to take all of it in.
Yeah, and it's, I think it helps, like, unleash your creativity when you're watching people and, like, seeing what they create. You're like, man, this is so cool. And it just helps, I feel like it helps me to, like, oh, well, you know, like, to expand on my own, what I want to do in the world, too. So shout out to all those creators who are just totally. Doing artistic, and they're talented. And funny and beautiful.
Absolutely.
All the things. I had another question in my mind and I forgot what it was, but that's how it goes. Kagigabo, this has been so, I knew that our conversation today was going to be amazing and fulfilling. And I'm so excited to have you on and invite you back. Oh, if there's anything else, is there anything that you're, like, doing as far as, like, current projects?
Again, I'm still posting on all of my social media platforms. I'm, again, going to start doing more lives. I'm going to have an opportunity in between travel to do more lives. And I'm going to be launching my, it's still going, but getting some new videos on my YouTube as well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Nice.
Maybe longer form than the shorter 45 second to minute and a half to going a little more in depth, which I always enjoy.
Yeah, it'd be cool that if you had like a podcast too. That'd be awesome. I'd listen to a 2-hour podcast.
Okay.
Because I tend to like do, you know, like cleaning or walking, and I'll listen to a podcast. So I like those long forms too. So
Me too. So they're fun to talk about too.
Yes. Well, thank you, Gitchy Miigwech. Thank you so much for being here. Your presence is so such a blessing, and I'm just thankful to call you my friend, James Vukelich Kagigabo Miigwech.
Apajigo Miigwech. It's so good to see you, Gaytabik.
Good to see you, too. Thank you.
Miigwech. Thank you so
and
much.
We'll have you back soon.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio.
That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and online at kfai.org.
And you're listening too.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Halusa Nation.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Wow, we're really excited to have our friend Shelly Buck return on the show, and Dana Thompson's on here. Wow, I'm very honored to have you both on the show, and great to see you. And we're going to talk a little bit about your organization. But I just want to say before we get into, or I'm going to try it now here because, you know, I'm Ho-Chunk and we have the sacred voice. But Owami Mini O Mini. Is that a yes?
Awamani Yomani.
Hey, I was close. I want to talk about your, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening, but, you know, I've been looking at your videos that have been posting and really exciting. And Shelly, take it away. And Dana, thank you. I feel really honored to have you on the show tonight.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely. Shelly, you're the president, and let's talk a little bit about your organization. Remind people out there what your organization is and what's it doing. And then we'll bring Dana in here. Boy, we could talk about a lot of things with Dana. I think last time I saw you in person, I did not know this. You're a musician, too, and I saw you up at Winona LaDuke's birthday party jamming on the stage with a whole bunch of people, and I'm like, what can't this person do? Oh, wow.
That was a wild day. Yeah, we'll talk about that next time for sure. Yeah. Now you have to have me back on.
Yeah, definitely. But Shelly, let's talk about what you guys want to talk about. We want to amplify the great work that you guys are doing. And again, really blown away by the quality and the great information coming from your videos, too.
Yeah, definitely. We are a Dakota-led nonprofit in Minneapolis working to restore 5.2 acres in the central riverfront of Minneapolis at Awamini Yomini or St. Anthony Falls. We are wanting to restore it to a place of beauty, restoration, healing, and belonging for everyone. We are about 65% design done. We're working to start breaking ground next year in the springtime, and we hope to have the land transferred to us from the Army Corps of Engineers by the end of next year. So we have a lot of work to do, but we're also really excited to have Dana with us. She is not only a board member, but our vice chair of the board, and she was just honored by Twin Cities Business as the 2025 notable nonprofit board member. She does great work, and we're so very proud of her and honored to have her as part of our group.
Wow, congratulations. I did see that. I got cross-handed there, Dana. I was hitting the applause button here and then trying to switch out, but I'll do it again. I always want to use that button. So it's awesome. Talk a little bit about that award and is it the significance to speaks for itself.
Well, I have been very passionate about the waterfront for a long, long time. I have a deep family history with regards to you know, what I think of as the original highway of the Dakota Territory, which is how tribes traveled for a long, long time. And I was approached to join this board, and I have a long history of revitalizing and indigenizing the area down that is called Awamini. And so it felt like a perfect fit for me. And then I found out that Shelly was joining on, and I was absolutely thrilled and have just been, you know, looking forward to every single meeting. And there have been a lot of meetings. It's a very active board. And, you know, I used to be an executive director of another Native nonprofit, and I know how hard it is. I know how many challenges there are. And so I just love supporting Shelly. I love making sure that she feels seen and checking in and making sure that she has everything that she needs to succeed. Because there can be a lot of barriers, especially right now. So I'm just very, very excited about the cultural revitalization of the area, indigenizing and lifting up Native voices. And I'm really passionate about wellness and food, as you guys probably know. So it's just an honor of a lifetime to be able to be part of something so meaningful.
Well, and I know you're very humble about this, but you helped start an award-winning restaurant down there that we all like to go to. And kudos to you for all that great work, all those years from food truck to great stand-up restaurant there off the river.
Thank you. Yes, I'm so proud of what I and the team built.
Yeah, definitely. Shelley, so what else here? I mean, you got a great board going on here. I know we talk to your people a lot, once a month at least, about the great stuff that's happening there. And then you also have my old friend, Barry Hand, working with you. So I know things can get exciting, too, with Barry, so, to put it nicely. But all the knowledge that's that mm-hmm. comes with your organization is amazing for me to watch from a distance here.
Yeah, definitely. We've been able to do a lot of things with the team we have. We have Barry and Kami who are in our program department. We also have our Dakota Knowledge Keepers who are part of the design team. We have our tribal working group, which our representatives that are appointed by the four Dakota tribes here in the state that we can meet with on a regular basis. And then we also have our program committee to help figure out what kind of things we're going to do. And actually, that's where we got the idea for the Lifeways videos, because we don't have a current space where we can do these videos at, or these classes, and bring people in and teach them some of the traditional ways of doing things. We started going to some of our team's houses and using their kitchens. We've used my kitchen once, Sage's kitchen, Amanda's kitchen, and we do these Lifeways videos. And we thought, well, not only is this a good way to start our programming now until we get a space, but it's also a way to reach those who aren't in the area, who may be out of state or in a state where their people are not. So we thought, you know, this is a good way to do it, and we can reach more people. And we've been excited and pleased with the responses to it. And we are excited. We are going to be getting an engagement space where we'll be able to have a kitchen and do different things and really expand our programs on the site right across the street from our 5.2 acres. So we're excited about the future for Oahmini Omni Okodayapi.
Well, and also I noticed that you didn't mention Barry's kitchen, but that's fine.
no, but, he won't let us come to his kitchen, apparently.
Yeah. He's too busy killing those squirrels out there and sending me pictures of it.
Yes, for sure.
And you must be on that thread, too. But that's totally exciting. Can you give our listeners out there how they can find these videos and where they can find them and your website, too? And really, we got another minute here, and I'd love to. That would be the call to action for this first segment. And then after that, we really want to get into what's ahead with your nonprofit.
Yeah, definitely. You can go to our website, oahminiomni.org. The videos are on there. You can also go to our YouTube channel, Oahmini Omni Okodayapi. You'll find the videos there as well. And they're also on our social media, Facebook and Instagram. So you can look for those there as well.
You know what I really like about the videos, being a former film and video teacher myself, is the length of them are really, I think, perfect. You know, keep them short for somebody like me that's like, squirrel, you know, those kind of things. But I like that. Hey, this is great. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Shelley Buck and Dana Thompson, and we're rocking and rolling. We'll be right back. And later on, Ruth Anna Buffalo. Ho-wah.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio. Hey, we're with Shelley Buck, president of Oahmini Mini, and Dana Thompson, we are talking about the great work that's happening here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and it's really exciting to hear this. Shelley, The group really hasn't been around that long, but I see so much traction happening. It's really exciting to see this.
Yeah, the organization itself has been in existence since, 2016, so almost 10 years. It started out as, St. Anthony Falls Lock and Dam Conservancy. Mm-hmm. Then it went to Friends of the Lock and Dam, then Friends of the Falls. And then when I came on, we became a Dakota-led organization, and we thought if our mission's Dakota led and our organization's Dakota led, then why isn't our name Dakota? So we changed our name to Awamni Yomni Okoda Yapi, which virtually means Friends of the Falls in Dakota. And it's really a cool story to see the transition of this organization from when it first was created and its mission then to where we are today. And we're really proud of that. And I think the board members that we have, like Dana and some of our non-Native board members, are just absolutely amazing. Some of the best people I've met in my life, and I'm so happy to have their support on this project. And it's just going to mean so much to Dakota people. I know when I was a tribal leader, so many times I just felt like we were forgotten or erased from our homelands here in the Twin Cities. And to be able to bring not only the Dakota stories back to sacred sites, but also the Dakota language with our audio tour signs we have up. There's 8 of them now. You know, you're actually hearing Dakota spoken on the site again. And it's just, it's so amazing to be able to bring our people home and help them feel welcome. And I hope once this project's complete and with our new engagement space we'll be having, I really hope to welcome all Dakota people home and have them feel welcome and seen again.
That's some powerful words. I want to ask you too, across from where you are too, there's also a sacred island. Is it still there, or is it we have to repurpose it, or?
Well, it depends on what island. There's Witawanahi, or Spirit Island. It is no longer there. They totally destroyed her to build the city around her. But we still have Nicolet Island, which is also a sacred island of ours. But yeah, we are working. It'll be a phase 2 or 3 project for Spirit Island, but we do want to honor her in some way, shape, or form, whether that means we physically and literally build her back up or we somehow do something else to honor her there at the site.
Wow, good words. Dana, how do you fit in this? This is exciting news, and what do you do? Do you like seek out funding? Tell me a little bit about what you do as vice chair.
Well, I support the chair of the board, and I support Shelley and everyone else. And I think of myself as someone with a lot of soft leadership, so I can make suggestions based on my own experience. Every chance I get to sort of frame it through a more Indigenous lens, I try to do that, because we do have some non-Native board members. And it doesn't come up a ton, but when it does, there's a really easy way to just soften it and make suggestions. Right now, we are working on a campaign to kind of fill the gap for some of the funding that we need to do this extraordinarily huge project. I mean, it's some prime real estate, and we want to do it right. We want to make it a place where it's back as close to the original land as possible, and also that it's usable for everyone. Right now, there's nowhere to really engage with the river, and that's pretty tragic because it's a powerful thing. I mean, Awamni means laughing waters. It's all about the beautiful waterfalls that were there for so long. And there's a lot of story to tell. There's a lot of other Indigenous stories to tell as well. And so I try to weave that in when I can, but our team is extraordinary. And you had mentioned Barry Hand. He's got a head full of stories. Like, he can go and go. So we have a lot of fun together, and you know, it's lightness and humor and fun, and I try to infuse that into my board role.
Well, Well, I know Barry always introduces me to new people and says he's Ho-Chunk, and did you know they eat people? And I know exactly what Barry Hand's up to there. Well, it's exciting. Shelley, can we, once we finish this project, I know this is a big a big lift, can we do something about Bidote down there? I have a boat on the river, and when I drive that by that island, it's a lot of times sad for me.
Yeah, it definitely is sad. And I'm a big dreamer. I like to dream big. I have big plans, and I want to take over the world. So I would love to see more sacred sites along the river from Ouaminiamini down to Wakantipi. Just really done in the right way and in a Dakota way, with Dakota knowledge keepers, Dakota people at the center of the project from start to finish, not just a little meeting here or there and they get a little stipend. We want to actually have Dakota people in the process from start to finish, the heart of it, and getting paid market rate like any other consultant would. So that's my goal. Obviously there's no plans right now to move any further than this site that we're at, but yeah, I like to dream big. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, that's great news, really. You know, and it is, can one of you speak on the term land back? And I know there's a misunderstanding about it, but also there really is a land back. I know, just recently, there was some land donated to me, and we're going to put out a sweat out in White Bear Township. So there is real land back, but it's also a way of thinking too, not just the physical land mm-hmm. back.
Yeah, with our site and our project, I like to say land rematriation or land reclamation. So many times when people hear the word or the term land back, it's a negative thought that they have. And honestly, to be true land back, you have to give it back to the original stewards of the land. Giving it back to just someone else doesn't mean it's true land back. It's just a land transaction at that point. So mm-hmm. I just like to use land reclamation or land rematriation, because what's at the heart of it is the ability to be able to take care of the land and do our ceremonies and be one with the land again, like we did in our traditional ways.
Yeah, Dana, I think too that there's that land back that's happening just last 5-10 years. I really feel like, and then also we're taking control of our own verbiage here. When people want to do a land recognition, that's not for us. We know who's from this land.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, just echoing what Shelley said, you know, thinking about it with eyes on the future, what's going to be best for our children and our grandchildren, our great grandchildren, is the way to think about it. You know, I mean, nobody wants the world to burn down. So thinking through an Indigenous lens is better for everyone in the long run. And I think when people start to understand that, it excites them and makes them feel happy, because it makes them feel connected to the land, the plants, the animals, everything around us, which mm-hmm. is a healing mechanism for mental health.
Absolutely. Hey, Shelley, we only got a few minutes left here. I wonder if you could just give out a call to action is how people out there in Radio Land can come and see what you're doing. And mm-hmm. so give us the website and the Facebooks and everything else to our listeners.
Yes, definitely. It's Ouaminiamini, Ouaminiamini.org. Our socials, let's see, Facebook is Ouaminiamini Akodayapi. And then our Instagram, I believe, is just Ouaminiamini. It may be Ouaminiamini Akodayapi. Not 100% sure on that, which is sad to say. But yeah, go to those. You can sign up for our newsletter from our website. Keep updated on that. And hopefully before too terribly long, we'll be having some volunteer opportunities. So if someone wants to volunteer, keep an eye out on the Facebook or the website, the Facebook, the Instagram, and our newsletter for when those become available sometime probably next year.
Wow, that's great. Dana, you got the last word before we let you guys go. And maybe you can talk about a little bit what was going on backstage at that concert. No, just kidding.
Next time, we'll have a music session. I can come on the show with Keith. The last word is that we're doing some pretty exciting stuff. And I think the community as a whole is going to be super, super happy once it's completed. And we can't wait to share it with everyone.
Well, I just want to throw out a big peeny giggy. Thank you so much for both you coming on and sharing this fabulous information of what's happening here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and with our Lakota Dakota relatives. This is huge, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having
Thanks us. Thanks for having us.
We'll see you soon. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Yep. Up next, Ruth Anna Buffalo will be right back. Hoo-wah.
Support comes from the Walker Arts Center. The Yanni Whitehawk Love Language opens with an after-hours party October 17th. Party guests will get the first look at the exhibition celebrating the Sikonjo Lakota artist. Tickets at walkerart.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo. It was great to see you in person, Ruth Anna, today. Thank you so much for being on. And really, I appreciate your flexibility of being on when we need you. And I really, really want to say I appreciate that to our listening audience. So they're my witness. Ho-wah. Great to see you.
Yeah,
great to see you. You were running around doing your meeting thing there, and it was great to see you today. I was at the gatherings having a fish sandwich, which was delicious. Welcome.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. Dosha, hello, and Madzigadads. Thank you for having MIWRC on.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, I just happened to Google what's going on in the Twin Cities native-wise, and it came up what you guys are doing. It's really cool that you're making a lot of noise here, with some good stuff, and especially with what's going on upstairs there and how that's transforming things to really 24-hour service to our relatives that really need it.
Yeah, thank you. Definitely thankful to be able to help serve the community. Still so much more work that needs to be done, but we are, you know, just trying to do the best we can with what we have in front of us, and definitely an opportunity to continue building, but learning so much about the housing process, and really commend those that have been here in the community and who have been working on housing issues for decades. You know, it's definitely admirable because it's so much, and learning these housing systems and the ins and outs and of, like, say, for example, Fair Housing Act or Fair Housing Law, you know, so it's definitely been a good learning experience for sure.
Yeah, and there's a nice article in the Circle about this, and it's really nice to amplify things that are going well in our community, because we have so many struggles at times, and so it's really great to hear what Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is doing through you and with you and with all the great workers you have. It's just, I enjoy, we know each other from your past life as a politician, but I really am excited and enjoy talking about this because of the great work you guys are doing here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota.
Yeah, thank you, for sure. Yeah, it's been quite the journey, and there's so much more to do. And like you mentioned, there's just a really good, great team here, and we appreciate all of the partnerships with the community, whether it's formal, informal, you know. We appreciate, like, the WEX workers, and that's a partnership with the Mille Lacs band. We have a partnership with Red Lake's Minnow Bee Clinic, looking to expand, you know, and we have the mobile medical unit from the City of Minneapolis Health Department here every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Yeah, just so many good things happening, and it's really true, and it's a really good point to shine light on a lot of the good things that are happening. And then I stopped in at Powell Grounds today after a meeting at the Indian Center, and they have really good iced coffee over there. I had a chocolate, usually it's iced chocolate. I usually get a raspberry white mocha iced, but they were out of raspberry there. And so I had a chocolate strawberry iced coffee, and it was really good. But on the way out, I saw a lot of beautiful flowers. So I picked some up for our staff, and they're from the lady. It's a partnership with the the elders group. They had a table up, but they were shutting down, and they had some really vibrant, beautiful flowers. So that's one of them, but I was able to get three of them. But it's from the lady that has a house on the corner there by the elders apartments.
Is that Diana Grooms?
Diana
Grooms. Yeah, I saw that today, too. Also, nice. With your coffee intake, we could probably do 2 hours of the show, right?
I know. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, we were here last night. It's like 8 o'clock, and I found an iced coffee tall can in my fridge back there. So I was really, but, you know, just drinking some coffee, but it was starting to get dark. So staff decided it was a good idea to leave the building at that time to get up again today.
Well, what I enjoy too is amplifying, before we get into that, amplifying the great work that you, your organization does. And I want you to get out there, the website and how people can donate before. Because, you know, I have some timers. Sometimes I remember and sometimes I forget. So I want to get that out there before we move on.
Yes, for sure. I'm looking at a schedule up there. MIWRC, our website is miwrc.org. I was just looking at our schedule there. We have trying to keep track of all the different things happening in the building, and it's a good thing. We have Indigenous People's Task Force, their youth programming is on site about three times a week. And so also wanting to make sure everybody's safe and feels safe and protected in the community here. But yes, miwrc.org is our website, and we're thankful for everybody's continued support. MIWRC has been a pillar in the community, and it's been, you know, a huge responsibility and task and huge delight to help move things forward for MIWRC and continue the good work of previous leaders and generations, and definitely take this responsibility very serious. But yeah, we have lots of programming going on, and it's pretty busy here, and we're thankful for the community's support, and there'll be a lot of training and updates coming. And so, there's lots of things in the works.
Yeah, that's maybe we can talk about that next segment. But one of the questions I wanted to bring up, too, is that we're going to have Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday. And are you guys going to get your float in the parade again here, or is there going to be a comeback for that, or are we just doing a march without floats?
In May, right?
No. It's Indigenous Peoples Day Monday, the 13th.
Is there a parade then too?
I think so.
Oh, really? Oh my gosh. Dang, we totally missed that one. Unless we can get in, but yeah, it's so crazy. Like last night, I was like had that feeling of like we got to start preparing for the float and the parade. But I was like, it's not till May. But wow, yeah. I'll have to look into that and see if
I might do. I might be sending out to 200,000 listeners the wrong information. So yeah, look into okay. that for me. But I know it's people. It's indigenous. I know it's Indigenous People Days on the 13th, and there's a lot happening on the avenue. And I know there's a powwow, you know, at the Indian yeah. Center. And so there's a lot of fun things happening.
Yeah, for sure. Like I heard people talking about the powwow today and the sunrise ceremony Monday. Yeah. And this weekend is lots of basketball activity in St. Paul with the Indigenous Family Weekend festivities, mm-hmm. and they have a MMIR basketball game and awards. So yeah, it's a good time to raise awareness on MMIR, missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, and
yeah,
you know that unfortunately our Native women continue to be targets, mm-hmm. especially you know for predators, especially our unsheltered Native women and children. So it's definitely something that we continue to pay attention to and raising awareness for sure. And prevention is important, but being located here in the East Phillips neighborhood in Ventura Village, we know that unfortunately there are a lot of bad actors and predators in the area. And we know the community is continuing to take action and work together to protect the community.
Yeah, definitely. And your organization definitely does that. And we're going to be heading up where it's going to be getting cold again. And I know you and other organizations really reach out to our unsheltered relatives that sometimes, you know, people are one paycheck away from being unsheltered. So it's really important. And again, I want to bring up, too, that your organization's been around 40 and this is a 41st season. And that's just amazing in just for that is that you've been around that long.
Yeah, really. I mean, I'm super thankful for our founding members of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. You know, they came together way back when, 40 years ago, like you mentioned, to think ahead, you know, seven generations ahead for, you know, the health and safety and well-being of our American Indian women and families. And we know within our tribal communities that Native women have always been held in high regard. And we are just thankful to still help any way we can to keep the people, you know, keep everybody safe and protected, mm-hmm. and get to a place where we're thriving instead of just surviving. And we look forward to the day when we have everyone, you know, free from addiction and are yeah. living in abundance and in our cult, in our language, in our traditional ways and values, and where there will be no more unsheltered. Everybody will have their own homes and be growing gardens and singing songs. And, you know, we just look forward to that day when that happens, because it will happen.
I really like that, the way you feel about that. That's really part of leadership, is to lead us in a good way. I'd really like to talk to you a little bit about, you know, we do talk about this in fun and jest, but really how you take care of yourself and your family and to stay on an even keel, and the good things that you do to protect your soul, because it can be a very sad situation at times, but also keeping it positive like you do. I'd like to talk a little bit about that in the next segment, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of a Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
What's up? This is Tool Man.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And welcome, Ruth. And I know we talk a lot of the great things that you guys do, but it also can be taxing. And what do you and your family do to really protect your soul? I know you do a lot of fun things together, whether it's go see the Lynx play basketball or play basketball yourself. I know your son's a baseball player, and you know, those things really do matter to keep things in perspective.
Yes, for sure. Just trying to get outside any chance I get. You know, sometimes I get sucked into the computer or the office and don't really get outside unless there's a fire alarm, you know. I'm just kidding. I'm like, oh my gosh, the sun feels amazing, you know. But I think just maintaining communication with friends and family. My mom was out here last week, and it was really beautiful to see the staff and everybody sing her happy birthday and surprised her with a cake. It was during last Friday, the fall market. So any time I can spend with family, the fur babies, our babies, of course, and watching the kids, you know, do what they love. I think just being outside, but just even being in the comfort of our home, you know, and being with family is really, really important. And that's kind of what keeps me rejuvenated. I'm supposed to be going to a couple different places this weekend. Got invited to go out of the country, but and then also to another place for some healing and retreat work, inner work, but I may have to just sit these ones out and stay home and rest, you know, be with family.
Yeah, and then that sometimes is you have to plug in again. And I don't know why I always think this, because you're fairly tall and you played basketball. I always bring that up, but are you still playing a little basketball here, keeping things going, or have you been too busy?
Too busy. I mean, I'll play horse with the family every now and then. my dad was in town this past summer, so he was out there in his cowboy boots playing horse and 21 with the kids. But I'll do 21 every now and then. Our dog, our Boston Terrier, really likes to try to go after basketballs, so it's actually helping the kids get quicker and more skilled with their ball handling. But
what about the chihuahua?
He's doing good. We put a little sweater vest on him today, a little thermal Native design vest on him today.
Well, we had two chihuahuas. I don't know if you remember this, but years ago we had two chihuahuas, and one of them, we wouldn't let me move in our bed, and we had to he bit me in the head once, and the other one was just such a lover, and it was really the personalities were way, way different. But we miss our chihuahuas for sure. Oh wow.
Yeah, they're lovely to have. I know, it's my husband jokes and says the cat and the dogs are like a trifecta around me, because if I'm on the couch they were the same way with my dad when he was here, but visiting, and then in the bed, yeah, we let them sleep with us. So one's by my hip, one's down by my feet, and then one's over here, you know, the cat. So
I know, yeah. It's great. I mean, really, whenever I see somebody's animal passing or whatever, I always comment and say family and put a heart, because really, they're not only our relatives, they are part of our family. And wow, I'm getting teary-eyed on this. Really, they are.
Yeah, it's so true. They are. I mean, they always try to jump in the car with me when I'm leaving. Or the chihuahua, he'll kind of prance around like he's the escort, you know, like he's leading the way and I'm following behind him. But he's strutting, leading the way. So yeah, I follow.
I know that. It's funny too. We had a Chihuahua, Mickey, and we couldn't let the other Chihuahua go without a leash, but Mickey we could, and we'd say, hey, come back here, and he'd come back here, and he kind of walked around like he was really proud that we let him off the leash. It was really, really quite funny. I don't think we were hallucinating. I think he really was proud and kind of sticking his tongue out at his brother.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. It's beautiful, because like sometimes we'll be feeling like realizing like, oh my gosh, we're not really saying anything to each other, or you know, just the communication. And then we're like, oh my gosh, it'd be so cool to hear what our dogs and cats are thinking or saying. So we'll have fun narrating at times of like what we think they're saying.
Well, soon enough, I think we can get assistance from ChatGTP or something to find out what these dogs really are saying.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because like sometimes my husband and son would joke and say, even when our kids were younger, like, I think Jordan's really side-eyeing me. He's side-eyeing me. We're like, no, he's not. You know?
That's hilarious. Well, and then, you know, we have grandkids now, and the girl Summer, she definitely side-eyes me every time she comes over here, which is really funny. The boy's happy to see me, but the girl kind of side-eyes me like, are you going to take good care of me this time? Are you not going to throw me around accidentally, right? It's like, oh, hope my daughter isn't listening today. But yeah, that's the whole relationship that that we talk about as being native too. I mean, this just fits in that, you know, Father Sky, Mother Earth, and all the creatures that are our relatives really truly are our relatives.
Yes, 100%. I remember growing up hearing stories of long ago and just different things about the animals back home, whether it was the deer or bears. But yeah, beautiful stories that for sure provide a deeper understanding of the connections and just the beautifulness in it all.
Well, I like, you know what I like is, you know, you see some old pictures from, you know, a long time ago, and natives are in front of a teepee, and then on the right you see some ratty old dog, but they're like part of the family and they're in the picture, you know, from way back.
Yeah. Even like pictures of the ancestors back then, or the relatives holding foxes, or, you know, like just different dogs, you know, but that's pretty cool. Right.
Yeah, I know it is. And we feed the animals back here. So we have raccoons, possums, and I mean, we're inner city. We're in between St. Kate's and St. Thomas. We're right by the river. So chipmunks, the squirrels, the raccoons, and then the birds come too. And it's just really, 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 really cool, you know, to be kind of part of that and knowing that we are part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree 100%. And this time of year is so beautiful outside. Like yesterday, I got to drive up to St. Cloud for a meeting, and just seeing the different color leaves and the water, and it was nice to kind of get out of the city for a little bit. But yeah, for sure, there was a coyote spotted near our neighborhood, not far from us, and it was in one of the Facebook neighborhood pages. But there was video of a coyote that was resting in a softball field, and my husband at first said, "No, that's not real," because we saw another one before where it was just kind of like to keep rodents or keep things out of the field. Mm-hmm. But this one was real yesterday. Coyote, not far from us.
Well, Ruth, we only got like 30 seconds left. Can you give out the website again? People can find out more and donate to your great organization.
Yes. Find more information on Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center at miwrc.org.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the fun talk here about our relatives. That was fun. So, hey, thank you. Have a great night. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Ho, If you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody, here. And I am here with Dr. Kate Bean and Penny Kay. Hey, and we're talking about a lot of great things here. We're talking about the M, and I'm glad I can just say the M instead of Minnesota Museum of American Art, because, you know, I have a great voice, but I'm pretty, it's hard for me to read sometimes. But hey, that's another story. Welcome back, and let's talk a little bit about the event and the artists and what's happening. Welcome back, Dr. Bean.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, the M. So the M's been around since 1890s and started as a school, a St. Paul School of Fine Arts. And we're super excited to be in our new permanent facility in the Pioneer Endicott building in downtown St. Paul. The artists that are coming into town, I think most, if not all of them, should be coming for the opening reception. The exhibit itself has been open since September 18th, and it runs for 11 months. So you have plenty of time to come in and see it. But we really urge folks to come in and meet the artists on October 11th from 4 to 9. Speakers will be at 5:30. Really like to see people in the museum, see the permanent collection show as well as the new show, and just welcome you into our space.
That's awesome. Penny, let's talk a little bit about what you'll be doing and your job with the artists and curating.
So a lot of the intentional work for this project in general is to provide just like mutual community support. So it's, you know, it's not just me, but like creating a network within this 15 artists that are participating. And then we've focused a lot on some professional development aspects. So offering them professional headshots and helping with writing of bios and artist statements and having their artwork. There's about 60 pieces of artwork. Most of it's produced for this show, but most we've had it all photographed professionally so that they'll have that for their professional development, or they're applying for exhibits or applications for fellowships, you know, to show the work that they've done as a part of this larger project.
Well, that's exciting. And how did this, Dr. Bean, how did this collaboration come about? Because this sounds exciting, and it sounds like a full-time job that Penny's doing.
Yeah, so the M, we really work differently than other institutions do. And what I mean by that is everything that we do is in partnership. So we co-curate exhibitions, including with those who've never curated before, such as Penny. And part of that process is sharing knowledge and expertise all the way around so that partners that we work with can take that information and those relationships and that knowledge and continue on. We like to have multi-year projects where it's not a one and done. You know, we work with somebody on a project, a different iteration down the line, continue to support in terms of funding sources and looking at ways in which we can support through our networks. We don't see exhibitions as this static sort of, you know, just place to show. It really is about connection. It's creating a space and a platform for people to come connect, and for diverse representation, for diverse voices to have a platform to speak their truth, to feel that power of being in community and to know that they're supported.
Wow, that's awesome. Penny, what have you learned by you know, I know you've been around the museum for years, but as that you didn't learn or you didn't know as a curator, what have you learned?
Well, I've been really fortunate in this, and first being mentored by Laura Joseph, and then also for the last 15 months, I've been mentored by Ben Gessner. He's the project manager and curating support that I have for this exhibit. And actually, there's been a lot, like, you know, what goes on behind the scenes. There's no way that I can just drop off a piece of artwork, you know, like 2 days before the show starts and I think that I'm going to get something into the exhibit. There's a lot of prep work that goes into with the, like, where it's going to go within the exhibit, thought about, like, how it's going to be impactful for the visitor to learn about, you know, the different aspects of the exhibit based on where things are placed. Lighting, painting the walls, creating just even the information that goes on the walls about, you know, who the artist is, what their intention is with this piece that they've brought forward. It's been a really great learning experience in that way. With this collaboration itself, one of the things I was looking for was, I feel like we're told occasionally I've been told that by traditional elders that being queer or being two-spirit is a European concept because we're not found in our oral tradition. And as part of this collaboration, one of the participants was able to tell me about Ojibwe origin story that I've been hearing about for 30 years. But this time, the way she told the story, Two-Spirit people were present in there, and we were there providing balance and perspective for people as star people descended and were placed here on Turtle Island. And so that's been real eye-opening to me because it feels like as part of assimilation, as a part of bowing down to, like, Christian organizations with boarding schools, that we were removed from our own oral traditions. And this is a large, you know, a lot of work to bring us back, to empower us, to affirm us.
Well, I totally agree. And I've heard from my tribe, from people that when the colonizers came here, they went after the Two-Spirit first and our medicine people. And yeah. So I've heard that too. And I think sometimes when, like you said, with the boarding school and the education and our own relatives getting colonized, they forget how important the Two-Spirit were and have been and still are.
Thank you for affirming that, because really, and one of my things is I'm always looking at what's the inverse. If it was important for them to remove us, well, right. How important it is for us to be put back into place for healthy communities. So that's like a key piece of, like, how this all works for me. It's like, if it was so important to have us taken out, think how important it'll be for the whole community to bring us back in where we're supposed to be.
Yeah, bravo to that. I agree 100%. Dr. Bean, I didn't realize when Penny just went through the whole thing of what she needed to do, cross the T's and dot the I's, and even to a place card about the artist, there's a lot to be done before there's a action like this. Who picked the artists?
So Penny and was the person who helped facilitate that part of the project and network and communicated with the artists. Our team, the way that we work is that we essentially have a community partner. Community partner has a vision, something that they're mulling over, and our team helps bring that vision to life within a space. We sort of have this room that's kind of like a blank slate. Build walls, tear down walls, painting, creating all kinds of different, every exhibit looks completely different. And it's a really beautiful transition to see that happen and to be able to see these ideas come into life. And again, the exhibition itself is a piece of these relationships and these projects. But it's kind of a starting point, you know, to showcase and share. But I know Penny, in terms of where she's situated more north of us here in Minnesota, Makoche, ended up communicating with a lot of artists, Ojibwe, Métis, and the Dakota artists up north.
Cool. Very cool. I'd love to see something eventually done, like on Natives in the Media. whether it's film or radio or something like that, because, you know, we forget, and this is kind of off talk, but I always have Robert Liljegren on my show. His father, Chuck Liljegren, was on the radio when I was a kid every morning for 30 some years on WCCO, which was it still is a 100,000 watt station. So people knew his dad and his Ojibwe-ness. And it's just really interesting that we have stories like that too.
Yeah. And I remember being interviewed by Laura Whitstock and Roy years ago with my dad. And
yes.
And you know, now we've,
well, you had a documentary, and that's media too.
My dad's a filmmaker. His documentary, Ohiesa, the Soul of an Indian.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with...